If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Isaiah. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 52. I encourage you to look at the Word of God this morning. There are seven commands from God in the first two verses. And I want you to please pray that God will help us just to notice these seven. We certainly can't look at all seven in detail, but there are at least two of those seven that are very strongly on my heart and mind this morning. From Isaiah chapter 52, we'll be reading the first two verses, but before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to know that we have a Father that's perfect and holy and righteous. A Father that loves us beyond anything that we can comprehend. Lord, we thank you for the magnitude of your love that was manifest when you sent your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We thank you, Lord, for loving us from even before the foundation of the world. We thank you for giving us the promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful for the security that we feel to know that our Father is the God of heaven and earth, the one true, the only God. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, to serve Thee and honor Thee as our God and as our Father. We pray, Lord, that you would bless all those in this congregation. We thank you for every member and friend and every visitor that's come together to worship God with us this day. And we pray that Thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray that we would hear the Word of God and understand it, that we would believe it, and that we would obey it. Thank you, Lord, for your holy Word. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for the inspiration of it, and we pray that you would help us to be able to understand Thy Word every day and every time that we read, and as much as understanding, we pray that you would help us to walk in the light of Thy Word. Help us to follow Jesus every day. Help us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Keep us mindful of your presence with us every day. Again now, we pray thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that thou art the great physician, that you have all power. We know that you're touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and that you know all the burdens and problems that everyone has. Again now, bless us, help us, be with us. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read now from Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, the first two verses. I want you, as I read these verses, I want to see if you can identify seven different commands that God gives to His people here in these two verses of Scripture. He says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." I want to just go back and just enumerate those seven commands. And then I would ask all of you to be praying that God will help us to look at two of the specific commands. The first thing that God tells His people is, awake, awake. Get up, wake up, wake up. All through the Word of God, God repeatedly tells His people, wake up. In the New Testament, the Word of God says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Sometimes God's people are asleep, and they're asleep among those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And God says, "Awake thou that sleepest," not come to life, but "awake and arise from the dead." Get up away from those that are dead in trespasses and sins. Awake. So it says here, awake, awake. That's the first command that He gives. Wake up. Second thing He says is, put on thy strength. And brethren, the people of God, we need the strength of God. And the only way that we can put on our strength is that we look to God for the strength that He gives us. Wake up. Have you ever noticed that first thing in the morning? Do you feel strong when you first wake up, or do you feel a little weak when you first wake up? You find that you could not pick up as much first thing in the morning as you could later. That's the way it is with me. I'm weak when I first wake up. So the first thing, first commandment, there's a progressive order here. He says, wake, awake up. Second thing He says is, put on thy strength. Third thing He says is, put on thy garments. Now there are garments that God puts on us. We're clothed by God. But then the Word of God tells us that there is clothing that we're to be put on. There's a robe of righteousness that we're to put on. The Word of God tells us to put on the whole armor of God. So there is dressing that we need to do. Wake up. What's the second thing after you wake up? Put on thy what? Put on thy strength. What's the third thing? Put on thy garments. And then He says, after He says, for thenceforth shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. And He's talking here, all of you understand there was a natural Jerusalem, but He's talking here in prophecy about the new Jerusalem that was coming. And in that new Jerusalem, which is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, He says there's not going to be any uncircumcised or unclean. There aren't going to be anybody in that new Jerusalem that are walking ungodly. And then He says in verse 2, He says, shake thyself from the dust. And sometimes the people of God, sometimes they've been laying down in the dirt and the mire and the filth of this world, and they have the dirt all over them. And He says, now, wake up, put on thy strength, put on thy garments. And then He says that we're to shake thyself from the dust. And then He says, after He says, shake yourself from the dust, get all the dirt off of you, shake yourself from the dust, then He says, arise, arise. Where are all of you? There's only one in this room right now, I think, that's standing up. Isn't that correct? Arise. Aren't all of you sitting? All right? Arise. There's a spiritual meaning to that. And sometimes the people of God are sitting down when they ought to be standing up. And sometimes they're spiritually, sometimes they're standing up when they ought to be sitting down. All right, now He says, arise and sit down. Now that you got to think about, there's got to be something. He didn't just saying, stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. That's not what He's talking about. We're going to come back to these two expressions. These are the main two that are on my heart, where He says, arise. We want to look at what He's talking about there, and sit down. There's a standing up, rising up that we need to do, and there's a sitting down that we need to do. It says, shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem. And then the last thing He says, the seven things He commands them to do, He says, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Sometimes, brethren, sin has its chains around our necks, and we need to pray that God will help us to break those bands and break the chains. Slaves often have had chains or binders around their neck. And the people of God sometimes become servants to sin. And sin becomes like a chain or a binder or a cord around their neck. And so the Word of God says, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Now let's go back now. And I encourage you to go home and read and study. I just wish that we had time to go into all of these, but there's two that are on my heart very strongly. And that is in the second verse, He says, after He says, shake thyself from the dust, He says, arise. And that's the first thing we're going to be looking at. And the second thing is, and sit down. Arise and sit down. Now, when we talk about arising, we're talking about getting up out of one area. And there are two different ways we need to arise. First of all, as we think about arising, we're talking about getting up out of worldly activities. Do we need to rise above the worldly activities? Don't we spend, I'm talking about ungodly activities. I'm not talking about not working and not going to your job. working and doing a good job at your job is part of being a Christian. You cannot be a good Christian if you're not a good employee. If you're not working hard, you're not being what you need to be spiritually. You need to work hard. The Word of God says that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And whatever service we do, we're to do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. So we need to be arising. Arise, first of all, arising from ungodly worldly activities. Are there things in your life that you need to get up and get away from? Are there things in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that you need to rise above? Sometimes we get anger in our heart and we hold that. Listen, you need to rise above that. We can rise above that by the grace of God. Sometimes we have friction and animosity between the people of God. Well, we can rise above that by the grace of God. It takes forgiveness. It takes a manifestation of love for us to be what we ought to be among God's people. God's people can arise far above what those that are not children of God, they can live high above that. There's a highway, H-I-G-H, there's a highway for the people of God. And we need to pray that God will help us to rise above the things of this world, the weak and beggarly elements of this world. And then there's a second thing that we need to do, arise, and that is sometimes God's people are L-A-Z-Y. Everybody know what we mean by lazy? Sometimes the people of God are sitting down and they're inactive. Now, this is a different aspect of arising than just getting away from worldly activities and ungodly activities. But sometimes God's people are just sitting down doing nothing when they ought to be busy about their Father's business. One of the most outstanding things about Jesus, one of the first actions, one of the first words that we find coming out of the mouth of Jesus was that Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus was busy. Jesus was arising. Jesus was doing the will of the Father. And Jesus pleased His Heavenly Father. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Likewise, you and I as the people of God, we can grow in wisdom. But in order to do that, we've got to arise. Stop being lazy. Now, some people are very active in their worldly vocations, but they're not active in their spiritual vocations. Some people are very busy about whatever job they have, and they're so busy with that, they don't have time to serve the Lord. Well, they need to arise. They need to get there spiritually lazy. They're lazy and they're indifferent about the work that God would have for them to do. And I want us to all understand that as children of God, God will not allow us to become so involved in the ways of the world and the things of the world, even providing for our families, and we go way beyond providing the necessities, and that's what gets us in trouble, is we spend so much time running after more and more and more, and we're busy in the ways of the world, providing not the necessities of life, but providing the greed and covetous desires we have, and we neglect the service to God that we ought to be doing. So we need to arise from that lazy condition as well as arising from worldly ways. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 60 just a moment. Turn forward in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. The first thing now that we're looking at is that God tells His people to arise, to get up, to stand up. And He uses the same wording basically here in Isaiah chapter 60, but He gives a somewhat different illustration. He says in Isaiah chapter 60, look at verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, the Word of God says, arise! Now He's saying the same thing, but I want you to notice what He's telling us here in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine! Now what did we study most of camp this past week? Somebody, one of the children, tell me, what's the, okay, Kylie, tell me the most thing that we studied. Being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world. That's the main thing we concentrated on, being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world. Now, that's what the Word of God is here is talking about. In Isaiah 60, He says, arise and shine. My daddy used to go through the house every morning of our lives. It was the most horrible sound in the world when you're sound asleep. But he would go through the house clapping his hands. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. And I'd put my head under the pillow and just think, oh, I just. When you're asleep, when you're comfortable, you don't want somebody to wake you up. Now, that's true in the natural realm, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. And I would get mad at my daddy, but it was necessary that he wake me up because there were things that I needed to be doing. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, you might get upset with someone that's trying to wake you up spiritually. But it's important that God's people realize that we have something more important than school and more important than the jobs that we have. And brethren, the people of God that are so indifferent about the service of God, they're going to experience a lot of heartache and trouble in their lives. The people of God that will get up and go to work, and they'll be on time to be at work, and they'll be on time to go to various other activities, but they're late in the house of God, and they're unconcerned about the service of God, and they're unconcerned and they're lazy about doing the things God tells us to do. We need to pray that God will help us all to arise, wake up. Rise and what? What's the second thing he says in Isaiah 61? What's he say?
Shine.
Arise and shine. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brethren, as I look out over this congregation, I see many, many lights that are shining. I see people of God that have risen above the weak and beggarly elements of this world. I see saints of God that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Arise, the Word of God says here, and shine. Let your light shine. What light is that? It's the light of the Spirit of God, the light of God that dwells in you. And he explains that in chapter 60, verse 1. He says, arise, shine. Listen now to the next phrase here. For thy light is come. Now listen, brethren, that's important. Not thy light is going to come at the end of the time world. Does everybody follow this? This is a prophecy about the coming of the kingdom of heaven and the establishment of the church. And Jesus says here, the Word of God says in prophecy says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Listen, brethren, there's a city of light for the people of God who walk in the light and the light of God's Word and are letting their light shine. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Who is that light that has come? He's the Son. In fact, here's what the Word of God calls him in, I believe in Malachi chapter 4, capital S. Are we talking about the sun rising here? Oh, I've got heads going both ways. Are we talking about the sun rising? Yes. Which sun? Well, we have a natural sun that comes up every morning, and as that, we call it coming up, but the natural sun, we call it rises, and as the sun rises, we're supposed to get our natural bodies up. Well, now the Word of God says, the Son of Righteousness, and that's spelled capital S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, he's also called the S-O-N. He's the Son of Righteousness. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Light. And Christ has come and has shined on you. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to look again at that verse. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. What I leave off?
Upon thee.
Upon thee. Isn't that glorious? It's not just that Christ is risen from the grave, and it's not just that Christ is on His throne today, but Christ, who is the Son of God, has come and He has shined His righteousness on you. And that's a great, great, great blessing. He's caused you to be born of the Spirit of God, but this is different from that. Not only have you been born of the Spirit of God, but He has come and He has shined His light on you. And by Him shining His light on you, you get the warmth of God, and you get teaching, you have the ability to see spiritual things. Do you know why you understand anything that you understand about the Word of God? It's because God has given you light. God has enlightened you. God has shown you things. And it's amazing, the grace of God, that in spite of our unworthiness and our shortcomings, it's amazing that the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, would come right to you and shine His light right on you. Now, do you have a reason to shine? Do you have a reason to rise? Do you have a reason to shine? Do you have the ability to shine? Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Listen now to verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Is there darkness covering the earth today? Is there darkness covering the earth today? Brethren, as you read the Word of God, you'll find that sin and evil and ungodliness is called darkness. And the Word of God tells the people of God that we're to shine in the midst of a perverse and wicked and evil generation. We're to be shining as the lights of God. And that's what He's saying here, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Now you hear the last expression there. Not only is the Lord going to arise upon you and shine on you, but the last expression He says is, and His glory, that's the glory of God, shall be seen upon thee. Do you remember anybody in the Word of God that was so close to God that when He came down off that mountain that you could see the glory of God shining from His face? Who was that? Moses. As he went up on that mountain to get the Ten Commandments, you remember how he came down? And he had seen the Lord and the glory of God shine from Moses' face so brightly that a veil had to be put over his face because the people couldn't stand to look at Moses because of the brightness of his face. Well, listen, brethren, have you ever seen the children of God that their light was shining? I'm not just talking about seeing their works. Did you know there are some children of God that you can just walk up to them? I have seen strangers. I have seen people I did not know at all and had never seen before. And they weren't doing anything spectacular. They weren't doing anything that you could say, now, that's clearly the work of a child of God. It's just that the countenance on their face was so bright that I knew that they were children of God. Have you ever seen children of God like that? That you could just see the light of God shining in them. Listen, brethren, that ought to be shining in every one of our lives. The Lord says, God says, arise and shine, for thy light is risen upon thee, shined on you. What an amazing and marvelous thing is that God shined His light on me and on you. It's amazing grace that God came to me, shined on me, and He shined on you. Just like that natural sun shines on the earth, the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, has come and shined on this earth. And did you know what the Word of God says here, the last phrase? And His glory shall be seen upon thee. Did you know I've seen? I think, and I know almost everybody here, and everybody that I know, I have seen the glory of God on you. That is, I have seen God radiating from your life. Not always, that's not what I'm talking about. But there have been times in every one of your lives that I've seen the glory of God radiating from your life. There's no people on this earth that are as blessed as we are. Did you know that? There's nobody in this world. I wouldn't trade places. I honestly and truthfully cannot think of another human being on this earth that I would trade places with. Did you know that? Honestly. I can't think of anybody that I would want to trade places with. And that's because God has been so good to me. And I know I don't deserve any of the blessings that God's given to me. Arise, shine. Why? Because thy light is come. And He shined on you. And if He shined on you, He tells you, now you get up and you shine. You shine. Arise. Get up. Quit being lazy. Arise. Get away from the weak and beggarly elements of this world. You remember Saul of Tarsus? You remember what he was doing whenever Christ came to him on the road to Damascus? What was Saul of Tarsus doing? He had been killing Christians. He had been enjoying killing Christians. He thought he was serving God by killing Christians. He said, I thought I did God service by killing those Christians. But listen, brethren, on the road to Damascus, as he was going to kill more Christians, Jesus came to him. The sun rose upon him. The Son of Righteousness began to shine. And the sun shined so brightly that Saul of Tarsus was blinded. And he fell down on the ground. You know what Jesus told him to do? Did he need to fall down on the ground? Let me ask you that first. Did he need to fall on the ground? Was it right for him to fall on the ground? Yes, it was right. And brethren, if you've never fallen down on your knees, if you've never fallen on your face because of feeling the righteousness of God and your own unrighteousness, you haven't come to the point you need to be at. You need to fall down on your face and cry out to God for mercy and grace. And then after Saul fell down, then you know what Jesus said to him? He said several things, but you know what he said in verse 6, in Acts 9, verse 6? He says, what is the word we're looking at, first word we're looking at? Arise. That's what he said to Saul now. Arise. Get up. Arise. Arise. Get up. In fact, I'm going to read you those words from Acts chapter 9, verse 6. I want you to hear what he told him to do, because I want to get to the second part of the text. What's the first part of the text? From Isaiah chapter 52, verse 2. What's the fifth and sixth commands that we had back there? The first one was arise, and what's the other one?
Sit down.
Sit down. Now, see? Arise, and then sit down. There is a place to sit down. And that's what we want to get to. There's a place you better not be sitting down, but there's a place you need to sit down. And so God says here to His people, arise and sit down. That's what He told Saul of Tarsus to do in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And he trembling, that is, Saul of Tarsus was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you think he was ready to do anything Jesus said? Yes, sir, he was ready. Do you think every one of us ought to be in that same feeling? Lord, just tell me what to do. Just show me what to do. I cannot make it without you. I've tried it without you. I've experienced your chastening hand because I didn't listen to you, and I'm ready to listen now. Lord, just tell me what you want me to do. That's what Saul of Tarsus said. Lord, what will thou have me to do? In verse 6, the rest of that verse says, And the Lord said unto him, Arise, arise. Get up, Saul. Get up out of the dirt. Arise and go into the city. Now, what's in the city? What does this city represent? What is this city? Somebody tell me. What does this city, C-I-T-Y, what does it represent? That's exactly right. The holy city, the New Jerusalem. That's what's been talked about back there in Isaiah chapter 52 and Isaiah 60 and 62 and 63. Is this holy city? He says, Now arise and go into the city. Tell me how. Once you arise, tell me how you get into the city. Tell me, how do you get into the kingdom of heaven? Getting up, arising is one thing, but what else?
Work.
Yes, work. Somebody else.
Doing.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And one other thing I wanted to bring out. What is that? Say it again. Seeking it. Yes, yeah, seek first the kingdom of God. Is that what you said? What did you say? Oh, repent. Okay. Repent. Yes, that's nothing to laugh about. Repent. Repent. Keep the commandments. Repent. Turn away from unto. Repent. What's the... Give me another word for repent. Connect with everything we're saying. Okay, turn. But this word I've been... Okay, shaking off the dust, arise. All of that is repent. Shake the dust off. Break those bands loose from your neck. Arise. Turn away from the things of this world. Get up out of the dirt. And go into the city. Now listen carefully. Saul of Tarsus was blind. And Saul of Tarsus couldn't find the city. Did you know that? And there were men that led him into the city. But what I want you to see right here is not just the willingness of Saul to go, but I want you to also see that there were people who were leading Saul of Tarsus into this city. There were men that led him into the city. And when he went into that city, the Word of God says he went down a street. God instructed him where to go in that city. He says, you get into that city and you go down the street called what? Go down the street called straight. You've got to walk the straight and narrow way. And he says, on the street that is called straight, you'll find a house there. What does that house represent? The church, the house of God. And what did Saul do when he got in the city and got to the house on the street that's called straight? When he got to that house, you know what he did in the house? He sat down. What does God's Word say in Isaiah 52, verse 2? Arise! And what? Sit down. Sit down. Listen, brethren, I thank God we can sit down, don't you? Did you know that even when you're out there serving God, you can sit down in the kingdom of heaven? The Word of God says in Matthew 8, verse 11, the Word of God says that we sit down. Listen carefully. These are the exact words, that we sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We sit down with those great saints of God that were so faithful in serving God before the kingdom of God came. And they died not having received the promise of that city. But when the kingdom of heaven was established, they were carried into this city. And now we sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What do you have to do before you can sit down in the kingdom of heaven? What do you have to do first? Arise. You have to arise, and then you can sit down. You don't just stand up, sit down. You arise, and you go, and then you keep going, and then you can sit down. The Word of God not only says in Matthew 8:11 that we sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the Word of God says that God has blessed us in Ephesians chapter 2, that God has blessed us to sit together in heavenly places. What are these heavenly places? It's this holy city. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the heaven that God has for His obedient children. It's when you arise and you walk and you labor that what do you then hear? Sit down. Arise, and then what will you hear God say? Sit down. Sit down in the kingdom of heaven. Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21? He says to the church at Laodicea, after He condemns them for the things that they're doing wrong, He says, now, you listen to what I'm telling you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. And what did Sister Leslie say? Repent. And then He says, to him that overcometh, will I give to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and am sat down with my Father on His throne. Isn't it a great blessing to hear Jesus saying, arise this morning? You know why it's such a great blessing to hear Him say, arise? One reason, in fact, if you don't hear Jesus telling you to arise, you better get on your knees and you better cry to God harder than you've ever cried in your life. But if you hear Jesus telling you to arise, you better arise. You better go into the city. You better go down the street called Straight. You better enter into that house. You better sit down. You better listen to what God has to say in His kingdom and in His house. It's a great blessing to be able to be in the house, on the street called Straight, in the city. It all starts with us arising. Really, it starts before that. It starts with God calling us and then telling us to arise. May God help us to praise the Lord for His wonderful works for the children of men. May God help us to do what we're to do as His children, is my prayer for Christ's sake.